Sermon entitled, You Throw the First Stone. You know, there's a, in Iran right now, they have, you have that in Iran, in a lot of Muslim countries, you have this, which is called the morality police. You know, these are people that go, they go out and they see if you are doing right. They see if these people, a lot of the people that they engage are women because they see if a woman is by herself. In a lot of these countries, a woman cannot be by herself. They see if she's with somebody else that's not her husband. Listen to me. It's just a lot of things that that come in, and a lot of guys, a lot of gals, amen, men and women, they are being killed. I was looking at an article where it said that all these people, amen, are being hanged. They're being hanged because of the morality, amen, police that's there. How many know that the Bible speaks about a morality, amen, or a people that were there? And they were there to try to make sure that everybody was upkeeping to the highest of standards. Amen. Hallelujah. Or they made themselves to be the highest of standards. But when Jesus came in, he brought them back into reality. I'm talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. Amen. The Sadducees. And here in the book of John, chapter 8, Libro de Juan 8, we see that here it is, a woman is caught in the act. You know, I always say to myself, how do they know she was there? John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 2. The word of God says, Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery, in the act. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something in which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin amongst you, let him throw the stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We ask that you would help us, God, tonight. God, let us follow your work, your word tonight. God, thank you for your grace, that loving grace. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Father, we thank you, Lord, as your word says, that there is no condemnation. Father, for you did not come, God, to bring the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Father, thank you for everything you've done, Father, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. See, here in our text, folks, we have two types of people that are found. We have the scribes and the Pharisees. These were the religious people of the day. They were almost self-appointed keepers of the law. They thought that they were of the highest of the religious world. They were there to enforce the Torah or the laws of Moses. They directed and interpreted almost 1,000, separate rules and regulations. How many, knowing that there was so many that you had to walk a certain tightrope, how many would still be here today if that was in effect with you and I? They thought that they were righteous in every way of their lives. They put on a show. They made they put on a show and made appearances to show the world that they were it. They pointed out the faults of others while they themselves thought they lived a faultless life. Do we know people like this? People that are we call them today self-righteous. They think that they are the top. They can take the word of God and pile it up, and just bring it on against people's lives. They can come in, put on a show and try, to show you and I that they're better than you, better than me. They're above everybody else. They can quickly point out every single person's faults that is in this building. They think they're living a perfect life because in their minds, they are the model, a religious person. We also have a woman. This was a person that was not entangled or engaged into a religion. She, made her living probably selling herself. She was far from a religious person as possible. She made her life dealing, folks. She made her living dealing in sin. Her whole entire life was opposite of what a godly person should be. You and I today, we know people just like this woman in our text. These are people who might never come through the doors of our church. They are living a 180 degree life, away from the Lord. Their lives might consist of moving, from one sin to the other. Listen, when they live their lives, they don't care what they do because all they do is sin in their lives. They don't care about God. And certainly, if they don't care about God, folks, they don't care about living a godly life. This woman, she was caught in adultery. She was doing what she was accustomed to do, which was to sin. She was doing the only thing that she ever knew. She was living in sin. She was committing sin. She was participating in sin. What can you and I expect? Simply put, she was a sinner that was caught up in more sin. She was living like many of people, folks, that are living their lives today. People today are doing what they are accustomed to doing, amen, which is to sin. They are sinning. That's all that they've ever known. They don't know the word of God. They don't recognize God's commandments, God's statutes, God's attributes. They know nothing about what the word of God says. Well, if you look in the word of God, they don't know the word of God. They don't know the things of God. They know about a God, but they don't know God in a way that they should know God as. They just do one thing. They live in sin, they commit sin, and they participate in sin. They do not know any other way. So they keep living the only way that they know how. Here it is, this woman, she was dragged, amen, she was dragged out to Jesus somehow, amen, which I think is fishy, is that they knew where she was, when she was, and what she was doing. They went to where she was, and they caught her, as the word of God says, in the very act. See, these were people, folks, that had studied the word of God. So they knew, what to do. There are many, people just like these religious people in today, that are scribes and Pharisees. They look for someone, folks, to be able to pounce on. They find someone, who does not agree with them or does not know the things of God. People who are living in sin, they drag them out just, in the same way to Jesus. They say things like, they say things like, I do not know them. They're doing ungodly, unrighteous, unmoral things. What do we expect from sinners, folks? What did you and I do when we were in sin? We did exactly the same thing. But I'm civilized now, Pastor. But just like some of us, as the Word of God says, we were sinners, folks. I'm much better than they are. They pat themselves in the back, thinking that they are living the right way. When they look at sinners, they condemn them and make people feel more miserable. They make them feel more horrible, that they never want to come to know the true nature of Jesus. See, the law stated in Leviticus, 20:10. Leviticus 20:10 stated that this woman, it says, if a man commits adultery with his wife, the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be surely put to death. Where's the man? Right? Where is the man? It said that they should both be put to death. See, it was to the point, that the law said they had to die. How many of us, tonight would still be alive? Because we have committed sins that are beyond reprehensible. I love Jesus' response. You know, some time ago, I'm in a WWJD, right? That was one of the fads. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, they brought this woman to Jesus to see what he would do. What would Jesus say about this matter? See, Jesus, knowing everything that was going on, he knew their intentions. He knew what they were, up to. All they regarded was themselves and not God. They didn't bring this woman to enforce the law, but to entrap Jesus. Today, people, folks, are no different. Jesus still knows the heart of men and women today. He knows the innermost thoughts and motives of every person's life here and out everywhere around the world. The 8+ billion people in the world, Jesus knows everything about each and every one of us. He knows those that regard, and those that have no regard for him. He knows those who only want to tear down, and he knows those, who want to lift people up. He knows those, who would use his word to twist the motive and intention. Listen, Jesus knows the intentions of our hearts, folks. He knew the heart of this woman. He knew that she was an adulteress. He knew that she lived a life of sin. He knew that in a way she was dirty because of sin, not because of her being a person. Sin makes you and I dirty, filthy. She was participating in one thing, folks, sin. Tonight, today, nothing escapes Jesus like nothing escaped him in that day. He sees the world, in full, not only, sin, but sinners also. He sees all things, whether they are committed in light or committed in darkness. He sees into the hearts of people's lives, the lives that are totally, whether you are just touching sin or immersed in sin, it's all the same to God. He knew the accuser's motives, but he also knew, this woman's lifestyle. He knows it all. So Jesus sees, what does Jesus see tonight in our hearts? As Jesus looks down at our lives, what does he see? What does he see in you? What does he see in me? What does he see in us? Listen to how Jesus responded. He called sin, sin. What he was doing, he stoops down twice. The Bible says that he begins to write things down. Could he have been? See, they thought they were covered, right? They thought they were of the elite. But Jesus, seeing everything, even everything behind the walls of our life, could he have been writing, "This is what you did"? Oh, how did he know that? "This is what you did." "This is what you did." See, they thought they were above all things, but Jesus, amen, the Bible doesn't let us know, amen, exactly what was written. But can I tell you, because it convicted them, something must have been written about them. See, whatever Jesus began to write, it convicted them so much and in such a way that they walked away. They came to realize what was in their lives and told this woman. And as Jesus told this woman, he said, go, but sin no more. He did not deny what this woman was being accused, amen, and he didn't make it less of a thing. But listen to me, the grace of God is so powerful that sometimes we overlook God's grace upon our lives, folks. He just simply told her, go your way, but sin no more. See, tonight, the Lord has the last word. He is the ultimate judge. See, every single one of us, I'm going to let you know what the Word of God says, because don't blame me. The Bible says that if you say you are without sin, then we are liars. So if you think that you are above everybody else, then the Word of God, see, because I know you're going to trap me. Pastor, you're calling me a liar. No, the Word of God says that we are liars. Amen? See, the Lord has, listen to me, he is the ultimate judge. We are all sinners and are unworthy of God's grace, unworthy of God's mercy. These people, they dragged, this woman to Jesus for the sole purpose of his judgment upon their lives. See, we have to live our lives. As Jesus said in verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Tonight, you and I have to walk as if Jesus, listen to me, just because we don't see him, sometimes we think that we can do different things that are shady. But we have to walk as if Jesus is right there by us, which he is. But though we can't see him, we sometimes act out. So we have to bring people to the Lord. Not for judgment, folks, but for forgiveness. For forgiveness. We know what, you and I have to say when people are without Jesus. But just as you and I were forgiven, we should lead people to that same forgiveness. And I'm closing tonight. It might be about 4 or 5 times that I'm closing, but I'm closing. Glory. So this is my first closing. The Lord knows the intentions and motives of every person's heart. He knows everything that you and I have ever thought of or have done. Tonight, you and I may look good. On the outside, we might present ourselves religious, but the Lord, he knows one thing. He knows our heart. Right now, he knows exactly what you're thinking of. What am I going to eat tonight? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? That's just the light things, folks. But what else is going through our minds right now? It's not about what we're going to eat, but what have we done? What did we see? Those pictures are just coming back in our lives. Listen, once something is recorded, it stays there, folks. It stays there. Jesus does not look on the outside, but he looks at our heart tonight. Jesus tonight, instead of extending judgment, he extended grace. By him extending grace, even though she was a sinner, Jesus gave her grace. The same grace that Jesus gave to this woman, he wants to make available for you and I tonight. We might have not acted like we should have, but can I tell you, the grace of God is still extended onto your life, onto my life, onto our lives tonight. Tonight, you might not be caught up in adultery, the sin of adultery, but tonight, we are still caught up in sin. Jesus gave himself upon the cross. He paid the debt for our sins. That is what grace is. It is receiving something that we did not earn or receive, folks. Tonight, God wants to extend grace to you. And he does this so that he can look at you. All of us, and speak those same words. Go, but sin no more. Amazing, folks, that Jesus would not look and say, bad boy. Amen? Listen, because we do that. You're horrible. He simply told this lady, listen, because Jesus, knowing and being the perfect, amen. Listen, sometimes my words get missed and misconstrued, amen, and all these different things. And I'm like, did I say what I just said? But Jesus didn't mix up his words, folks. Because Jesus spoke in a perfect manner. This woman goes and she became, amen, hallelujah, with just one, amen, message. People came to know God. Imagine what this woman would have done. All the church did was slam me. All the church did was belittle me. No, Jesus said, go. Go. But sin no more. That turned this woman's life completely, amen, upside down, amen, glory to God. And she became a great light for Jesus Christ. Can I tell you tonight, amen, Jesus wants to offer you and I the same exact thing. Instead of, amen, bringing judgment, he wants to give you grace and forgiveness. Love, embrace. He wants to give you a hug and tell you, I love you. I care for you. But go and sin no more. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Amen. You're here in this place. You might not know Jesus. This woman did not know who Jesus was. This woman did not know the love of God, but yet Jesus still offered her forgiveness. He offered her to embrace her, to bring her in, to love her. That's the love of Jesus upon our lives, folks. He wants to give you tonight forgiveness. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:17 says, for God did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what Jesus offers you and I tonight. Not condemnation, but salvation. He offers you joy, not sorrow. He offers you love, not rejection. Do you want to come tonight to know that Jesus that I just spoke about? If you're here in this place and you're not saved, if you're here in this place and you're not right with God, God tonight wants to embrace you, not reject you. You've never accepted Jesus into your life. Would you do one thing for me? Would you lift up your hand? I want to pray for you tonight. Quickly, quickly. Raise up your hand. God sees that hand. Anybody else tonight? You want to surrender your life to Jesus? Lift it up quickly. Anybody else? Quickly, lift it up. Maybe you're backslidden. You came in, but something in life derailed you to where the world that you ran away from now became your safe haven once again. God tonight wants to offer you a great gift. He wants to offer you the greatest gift that you can ever receive tonight. Maybe you're backslidden tonight, but you want to come back to God. Would you simply do one thing? You recognize your condition. God sees already. God wants to renew the relationship in your life once again. And Jesus wants to give you hope once again, folks. You're here in this place and you're a backslider. You're backslidden in your heart right now. You want to give your life back to Jesus. Jesus does not want to condemn you, throw stones at you. He wants to love you, give you grace, mercy. The mercies of God, Lamentations says, are renewed daily. That's what Jesus wants to give you. Backslider, would you lift up your hand? Come back to God. Backslider, if you're backslidden in this place, you want to come back to Jesus, would you simply do one thing? Would you lift it up? Amen. Sir, are you honest? You want to pray tonight? If I can have Anton come and pray for him. Church, as I speak to you, can God tonight call you? This woman was caught, folks, in the very act. They brought her. They tried to make a spectacle. And Jesus just started writing things down. Can I tell you, the world tries to write down a lot of things about our lives. The world tries to bring forth a lot of accusations. Jesus would come. He would embrace us and he would say, go. Don't do those things no more. Maybe you are not entangled. Amen. Maybe there are things that you have been thinking of that might not be of the most godly of things. Maybe tonight you have seen things that you might not have wanted to see. Maybe you have said, amen, things that probably you should not have said. Jesus is offering you and I tonight grace. Not accusations, but grace. We can get right tonight. We can be right and we can stay right. The altar is open. Come, lay hold of God tonight. Amen. Let Jesus help you. Let Jesus help you. You know, sometimes I say some things and then God convicts me and he's like, why did you say that? You could have said things in a different way. God's grace, folks, is being showed upon our lives, even though you and I did not deserve it, but yet God still gave it to you and I. That's grace. That's the love of God tonight. God wants to show you and I tonight his love. He said, if you are without sin, you throw the stone. And every single person, folks, every single person, they threw these things down. And one by one, they began to leave. Jesus comes and he says, woman, where are your accusers? She says, Lord, it's amazing how she went from, can I tell you that quick, a sinner can be in the dinner table with God. She said, Lord, there is none. That quick, she recognized who Jesus was, and it turned her life completely upside down. It transformed her heart. It transformed her life. It transformed, amen, a life of sin to now a life of knowing Jesus. Go. Don't do those things no more. God tonight is offering you and I the same. Go. Live your lives for me. Go. Surrender your heart to me. Go. Live your lives not according to what you think, but according to what my word says. Live it to the fullest. Jesus told this woman, he said, go, but sin no more. God today is offering us the same thing, folks. Are we going to throw stones? Or are we going to have our hands just like Jesus had his hands and embrace people? Because see, we can throw these stones, but once you throw them, you're going to kill people.
you and I are going to kill people. And when we kill people, we're going to look around and say, why aren't people not here no more? Because they're dead. Because they're dead. I don't want to be someone that is a stone thrower. I want to be someone that Jesus can use. You and I tonight, we are powerfully being used by God. Let's continue to do that, folks. Let's embrace people. Listen, I had this is not going to be long. When I was in Garland, there was a gentleman that came in, and he just happened to sit by me. And can I tell you, he was not smelling very good. Matter of fact, he was smelling very bad. But you know what this man said? He said, even though you knew, you said nothing. I love this guy. I even gave this guy a hug. And that alone just made this guy feel welcomed. Sometime later, it began to get cold. I know we only have about a weekend of cold in Texas. But it got cold. And I brought this gentleman a blanket. I brought him some food. His mother comes in. When I do things, I don't do things for recognition. I don't do things for anything else. She said, thank you for being there for my son. You know why I did that? Because I'm a Christian. That's what Christians do. But when this woman came up and she said, thank you for being there for my son, that you brought him what you brought him, that you took care of him when, listen, I didn't do things that I thought were out of the ordinary. I just loved the kid. I just loved him and I cared for him and I gave him and I would always tell him to come in when it was cold. I said, come inside. And this woman, when we left, she called me and she said, my son and I are forever going to be grateful for what you've done for us. Can I tell you? That didn't put a ching ching. That just warmed my heart. Amen? That warmed my heart. Because I know that I was able to make an impact upon this man. Because even though I could have said, please go sit somewhere else. Listen, we could easily have done that. Imagine if I would have done that. He would have left the church. The church doesn't even want me. Right? Jesus said, I know what you did. Go and don't do it anymore. Simply put, we can leave tonight knowing that Jesus embraces you and I exactly how we are. Let's leave, and let's leave with the joy of God. Amen. Isaac, won't you close us in prayer?